Off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Our morning show today from WRCO and WRCE focuses on a great thing from the Richland Hospital, a great club, in particular, Club Scrub. And joining me is Sarah Stubbe. And how are you, Sarah?
Hi, Phil. Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm good.
Oh, wonderful to have you. So this sounds like kind of a fun thing. Can you give us an overview of Club Scrub?
Absolutely. So we are introducing this program again after the pandemic. And it's going to be offered to the 7th and 8th graders of our local districts. So we have invited the Richland District, Ithaca School District, and Riverdale. And they will be able to come to the hospital for four consecutive Tuesdays in October, and they are going to be able to get a full hands-on experience in the healthcare environment in all different disciplines and departments.
Well, give me an idea of what those youngsters will be doing when they come to the hospital.
You bet. So one of the main events is going to be for October 8th is the nursing department, and they will be able to have and see how mock compressions are done. They will go through a wound care training, and then the ambulance will also be there. So they're going to be able to tour the ambulance and then kind of see the handoff from when the ambulance brings a patient in into the ER and then go from there. Then we're also going to have, throughout the other Tuesdays, diabetic and nutrition training, and then also pulmonary, cardiac, rehab. And the lab department will be participating. Dr. Lumi will also be there with laparoscopic surgery. And Dave Kepler, our pharmacist, he will also be there on a Tuesday along with Brian McCarville and as anesthesia department. So they are going to get a wide variety of different hands-on experiences.
What is the goal of this? Is this to try to encourage more youngsters to get into the healthcare field?
Absolutely. We're just wanting to get them engaged, to get them, you know, at our facility, and then hopefully be able to be a teen volunteer when that comes to be 13 years of age.
What does it mean to be a teen volunteer? Then what are some of the things they can do, Sarah?
Sure. A teen volunteer is the criteria to meet that. It would be 13 years of age and live in our community. And they do go through a two and a half hour training where they get trained on wheelchair safety, go through HIPAA guidelines, and just a lot of different policies at the hospital. And then they have to be able to have at least 2 hours of service a month to stay active. And they get to be hands-on with patients. They're able to help whether the patients are arriving for an appointment. You know, they're able to help get the patient and navigate them through the hospital to different appointments. They can deliver flowers, visit with the patients, offer them puzzles, and just to even sit and visit with them. And then also be able to have some hands-on in the administration part of things, just doing, seeing what's behind the scenes, if you will, at the hospital.
I can see as a patient how thrilling that would be to have a younger person in there helping you.
Yes, absolutely. We just got some positive feedback from a patient a couple of weeks ago with one of our teens that had just stepped in to see how they were doing and how they were feeling. And she said it just brightened her whole day. And I also think it just boosts the confidence of our teenagers to come out of their shell a little bit and just to be able to work with the public in that service.
Kind of to see whether or not they like this field. I mean, that's certainly a good kind of preliminary thing for them, isn't it?
Absolutely. We also have a very prominent shadowing program through our continuing ed department. And actually, one of my volunteers for the summer was a college student that has been going to La Crosse to the school, to the college, and she wanted to volunteer for the summer because of the shadowing that she had prior to the summer with our radiology department. And she just really wanted to see more of what we were about. And her goal is to, after college, come and work at the Richland Hospital and clinics.
And we've talked about that, I think, with some other guests on the morning show, but I think that that works out really well. And then youngsters, can get a little bit of extra schooling while they're still in high school, can't they, and actually go to work?
Correct. So we are in partner with the CESA 3 program, and I know Chuck Keller has recently retired, but we are closely working with them in Ithaca School District right now with having the school-to-work program, and we have a couple of CNAs that are working, and again, if you know, they could have been in there with Club Scrub and kind of seen what we were about, and then just continuing and working with throughout their nursing or whatever healthcare career they choose.
With Club Scrub, Sarah, what are some other things that students might experience?
So when they arrive, we're going to ask them to arrive at the hospital at 3:45 on that Tuesday. The dates are October 8th, the 15th, the 22nd, and 29th. We will greet them in the lobby, and then they'll have a snack, and then we'll just go over some housekeeping items, and then they will get broken off into different groups. And then within those groups, they will have about a 20-minute session, and then they will flip-flop, if you will, into the different sessions. And they will get to literally have hands-on experience. We do have the Richland Locker that is always donating the animal tissue and organs, so they'll be able to suture different organs, and Dr. Harris will actually be doing that part. And then for Dr. Loomy's part, they're going to be able to do a laparoscopic training, if you will, and look through the cameras and see actually what the surgeons see when they are doing a surgery.
Oh, okay. So that is amazing. You talk about hands-on experience there. That's pretty close to the real thing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You couldn't do it without your sponsors, I'm sure. Could you talk about those?
Yes. So again, the Richland Locker has always been very willing to support us. We just hosted a high school a few months ago prior to school getting out, and they were able to give us some bones, animal bones, and they were able to drill through them and things of that nature. And then the school districts and the principals, whether they're approving our flyers to be sent home and then doing a follow-up with me, I appreciate that. And then just the staff of the Richland Hospital and clinics, the doctors and the staff and the volunteers that all play a huge part in those Tuesdays to make this happen.
What is the goal of the Richland Hospital, and why do you think Club Scrub is important here?
Well, it's very rewarding profession. And again, whether it's the nursing, we have administration, the patient access, the billing, and, you know, there's so many different avenues within a healthcare. And I think it's great, whether it's radiology and lab, they really do get a hands-on experience, and maybe that'll just help them, you know, carve out what they are wanting to do when they graduate.
What is your position at the Richland Hospital, Rachel?
So I am the volunteer program coordinator, and I do oversee the volunteer program, and right now that program is thriving. We have 19 adult volunteers, and then we have 6 teenagers, and I've been able to work very closely with them this summer. They put in a lot of hours, and I know I said goodbye to one yesterday that she hopes to be back during spring break and things. And then the local students will still be able to do maybe holidays, weekends, and after school.
You could always use more adult volunteers, couldn't you?
Absolutely. The community, the feedback that I've gotten thus far has been so positive within our community. They absolutely, patients love to come in and see someone behind the counter that they go to church with, or they're in card club with, or what have you. And, you know, the one volunteer that really stands out, he has been there. Vern has been with us for about 15 years. And, you know, he's every Friday morning, and he said to me one day, it's not about volunteering at all for him. It is so rewarding, and it's just continuing a friendship is how he described it, that he's able to see sometimes the same people day in and day out, if you will, or weeks, and just to be able to catch up with them and to see how they're, whether it's a health journey or whatever's happening in their life, and he just really does enjoy it. And I've gotten so many compliments. Now, Vern's taken the summer off. He's fishing, but he guaranteed me that he'd be back after the fish were done biting. So we'll see.
That's awesome. So as adult volunteers, they can volunteer in lots of different areas. Can you talk about some of those?
You bet. So the adult volunteer and the teen are not much different. During the day is when the volunteers, the adults are there from 8 to 4 Monday through Friday, and they do sit at that lobby desk when you come in. Again, they're the first person that our patients see. So whether they're assisting a patient, getting out of the vehicle, getting them to registration, getting them to their appointments and where they need to be, anything from passing out stickers to the children and high fives and knuckles, if you will. I've seen a few the littles go up to the volunteers and say that their shot didn't hurt that bad. So just again, a friendly, familiar face in our community.
And there's lots of ways that that you can help. I'm guessing there's some that help one day a week, maybe a month. How do you schedule that?
So right now we do have a very robust schedule, and a lot of the volunteers, I'm finding out, they're busier being retired than they were if they were working. And so a lot of them have a set schedule. So some may just work, you know, every Monday from 8 to noon they volunteer, and then others only want maybe, you know, one shift a month. And then there are a few that just say, call me with, you know, the schedule if there's openings. And I appreciate those folks too, because sometimes it's, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning and I've had a call in and you know, they're able to come in. So very fortunate. And the criteria to be a volunteer and to stay active, if you will, is just 2 hours a month. And I do work with the volunteers. If we have a lot of snowbirds, and so they go south for the winter, which I totally understand and respect that. And then they usually pick up right where they left off when they come back in March or April.
Is there a screening process if somebody wants to be a volunteer?
Sure. So typically, they can reach out to myself at the Richland Hospital, and I usually do a little bit of a phone interview, just get to know them, and then I do send out a packet of paperwork, and they do have to go through a wellness check and a background check, things of that nature, and then there is about a 2-2.5 hour training that is mandatory, and then after they have completed that, it's just touching base with them yearly in regards to the wellness again, and background check every 4 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. And that is about it. And then we did get just a new piece of equipment here lately, and then training. So if there's a new equipment, then we do the training, and everybody's been compliant with doing that. So
what's the new piece of equipment?
Yes. So thank you for asking. So the partners of the Richland Hospital, they have just purchased us a wheelchair mover device, and it is a device that we could latch onto a manual wheelchair and then be able to get the patient safely to their appointments and where they need to go. And it's a win for the patient, and it's also a win for our volunteers and our staff, because it just, ergonomically, it's a very well machine.
Let's talk about, again, the younger volunteers, you know, the teen volunteers or the student volunteers. This day and age, you know, applying for scholarships and things like that, that has to look pretty good on a resume, doesn't it?
It does. And right now I work with a lot of the volunteers that are juniors and seniors, and they have to have so much community service. And so I work well with them and definitely want to work with them to meet their goals. And then we also have the partners of the Richland Hospital and our foundation of the Richland Hospital, who also sponsors scholarships. So it's very important to be able to work hand in hand with them and, you know, give feedback. And it does. It definitely looks good on a resume. And also just to see them grow within the few months of a teenager being there this year, they just make strides in those different positions.
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about this event. I know we're going to talk about it later this week on the morning show, but the hospital is celebrating a centennial this year, isn't it?
Yes, we are. And so we are going to be kicking off on the 5K on Sunday, September 15th. That's going to start at 10 a.m. And then from 11 to 2, we are going to have food, drinks, live music, various speakers, and the park. I know Donnie Razak is going to be the live music, and it is going to be free food and open to the public, and just a great event that we're excited to be able to share with our community.
Great way to celebrate, and people can sign up, I'm guessing, for the 5K now, can't they?
I believe so. Our wellness committee is doing that, and I know that they could go to our website to be able to do that.
Yeah. And if somebody is interested in Club Scrub, they've heard about it this morning, what's the best way to find out more or contact you?
Yes. So they could email me at sarahstibbe@richlandhospital.com, or they can call at 608-647-1883, and I'd be happy to send them in the mail or an email the registration form.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to add this morning?
I don't think so. I just want to thank you for your time, and thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. And we'll be talking more about the centennial coming up. But Sarah Stibbe, good luck with Club Scrub. It's been great to learn about it today.
Thank you.
You bet. Our morning show continues in just a moment. On a morning show today, Ron Bindle joins us on WRCO Radio. Loganville Firemen's Festival is coming up. It's their 47th annual, and Ron is the fest chair and also the first assistant fire chief with Loganville. So, Ron, does it seem like it should be festival time?
Well, it is. You know, it's starting. You know, summer starts to wind down, and that means it's time for the Loganville Firemen's Festival, I guess.
Tell me about the Loganville Fire Department. You're celebrating an anniversary year, aren't you?
Yeah, we're celebrating 100 years this year. So, basically, back in the 1920s, the Leitcher brothers formed what they called the Wisconsin Fire Apparatus Company. And at that time, they were starting to build fire trucks. And since the village really had no fire protection at the time, the Leitchers offered to make a demonstrator truck available to the village that would be the only thing we would have had to provide would have been the hose. But that was voted down. And then in February of 1924, a big fire broke out on Main Street. And basically all Loganville had was a bucket brigade at the time. So that, you know, soon spread through the downtown district, taking care of, I believe it was five homes burned to the ground. And then so several days later, then the village voted to spend $65 to $100 on a Laverne fire truck completely equipped. And then so, you know, basically May 1st was when we took off as a fire department. And then then a year later, and you probably remember this from your books or something there, in May of 1925, they say the Loganville Fire Department was credited with coming down to help save Richland Center in a large fire they had. And the 1924 Laverne truck, which we sent down there, has actually been restored, and that'll be on display Saturday. So that's kind of how we got started anyways.
Wow, that is awesome. Did you have a celebration to commemorate it back in May, Ron?
We did. We basically invited the retired firemen that came, and there's about approximately 40 of them, and that was really big. We had one of them actually came from California. He's in the service out there, but it meant a lot to these guys just to have all the old memorabilia and stuff we had, and you know, get to see guys that they really probably haven't seen for God knows how long, you know, 20 years or better. So, and yeah, it was pretty neat.
Is the festival a fundraiser to help out with some of the costs?
It is. You know, we're small town stuff up here. You know, we've got a village of 300 people, township of 600. So, you know, rather than relying on the taxpayers to do a lot of our stuff, that's why we do our fundraisers. So we'll have a couple of breakfasts throughout the year, Hunter's Night out in the spring, but obviously the festival coming up on Saturday's the biggest fundraiser we have. So,
what's the first event of the day that day?
Okay, so we start out with a 1 mile, a 5K, or a 10K walk or run, and you can register that morning, or the guy that kind of heads that up is Brian Fry. His number is 963-5900, so if you got any questions there, they'll take off about 7 o'clock, and that really goes over well because people get out and about, they get to see the countryside. So that's a lot of fun. And then we'll also be having our parade, which starts at 10:30. So you can, you know, register for that at 8:30. It's on Peak Hill Road, which is on the south end of town. And then starting at 11:30, we'll be serving our chicken barbecue featuring dine-in, carry-out, or drive-through. And I don't know if anybody's ever had the Knights of Columbus chicken, but it's one of the best ones around. So they'll be helping prepare that for us. The dinner includes a half a chicken, baked potato, coleslaw, roll, cookie, and a drink, and that's for just $15. So that'll get things started there. Other things we got going on are duck races, bossy bingo, kids' pedal pullers, inflatable bounce houses, a huge bake sale, beanbag tournament. So we're also going to be doing some, walk-around baskets and stuff. We've got gun raffles, crossbow raffles. We've got a huge load of wood. That's another raffle. So there's a little something for everybody, it seems like.
Yeah, it sounds like a typical, really good small-town festival for the whole family, doesn't it?
It is. And then starting around noon, we've got the Smokin' Meerkats that are coming to play. They're a five-piece band. I know they played up in Yuba before, and I know they've been in Loganville around there. They're really good listening. But if you're not into chicken, we've got, hot dogs and hot beef sandwiches, and all that kind of thing. And then we're also doing a silent auction, which has about 35 items on it. And there's anywhere from tables on there to Las Vegas packages, Branson, Nashville, San Antonio. So there's a lot of great items on that there. So we've also got our big drawing, which is at 3:30, which has cash prizes. So if you're there, the cash prizes all double. And, just 100 and some different prizes that we've got to. For an instance, down your way, we've got a couple gift cards from the Do It Center. We've got the gift card from the Meat Market in Richland Center. So we've got different prizes that, that'll be going out also.
Well, Ron, Loganville isn't a big spot, but where are most of the activities going to be taking place?
Everything is right at the fire station. The address there is actually 140 West Street. So everything, we kind of close that section off. Like I say, the music and the kids' bounce houses, and we've got bossy bingo. We also got duck races. Just a lot of small-town fun, if you want to call it that. And then we've also got a dunk tank there, which has a lot of your favorite people, if you want to call it that. I know Kyle from the Hill Point Hideaway will be there. A lot of bartenders from Hulk. Logan's Heroes will be in there. Tony Kurtz will be in there. So there's a lot of people you can throw a ball at if you want to.
Sure. Don't throw it at the people. Throw it at the target.
Yeah.
What about, you've got fireworks too, don't you?
Yeah. So then in the evening, we shift down the street a little bit to the ballpark. And now we have a band called the Lights Out Band, which used to be the Union Road. They're really good. I know they played at the, before the Badger games. I think they were just down at the State Fair. They just got done going down there. So they're a really, really good band to listen to. And then also this year in the evening just before that, we're going to have MedFlight come and land down at the ballpark, so people can kind of check that out. And that's pretty awesome to watch that thing, go up and down. But then even as I forgot to mention earlier, prior to the parade, weather permitting, we're going to have a military flyover. So that's always, something pretty neat too. So.
That is awesome. I've driven by your ballpark and really kind of marveled. I think you've made a lot of improvements to the Loganville ballpark, haven't you?
Yeah. The committee down there keeps everything, pretty up to snuff down there. It really looks good down there.
Definitely. Anything else you want to add about this Saturday's festival?
Well, like I said, it's a fun-filled day, something, for the whole family. Keep in mind that 100% of everything raised, stays right with the fire department and first responders. But, I guess, Phil, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? When you hear either the fire whistle or a fire truck going through town, I mean, you wonder, I wonder where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
So, what if that, I wonder where they're going, turned into, they're coming to my house. I guess if it was me, I'd want everybody's equipment to be up to snuff and, whether it's a car accident or a fire or whatever. So, that's why, all these fire departments, including Loganville and everybody else, does the fundraiser. So, any chance you get to support them, why, by all means do so.
Is there a specific piece of equipment, Ron, that you're shooting for and maybe have a goal for?
Well, we're always looking for, nicer trucks and stuff like that, which is always budgeted. But, just the smaller things, which a guy doesn't think a lot of, is like the thermal imaging cameras where you can, detect the heat and stuff like that. We're going to get a couple of those, actually four. it doesn't sound like much, but when they're $2,000 a piece, you know, that kind of stuff adds up. You know, even, you know, boots. Some of the guys need new boots. Well, they're $600. Well, if, you know, you get four or five of them. So everything adds up, you know, and it comes to the fire department. But no, it should be a good time. Hopefully the weather's great. Like I say, the raffle will be at 3:30, and, you know, that's very well attended. But I guess, you know, if anybody's got any questions, they can always give me a ring at 963-7042. So I'd be glad to help them out any way I can.
Awesome. And you mentioned you have, you know, a small township. What area do you serve there as far as your fire district?
We actually cover, obviously, the village of Loganville and the township of Westfield. We're on what we call auto aid with Hill Point. So, you know, if there's a structure fire, we both get paged together at the same time. And then, obviously, we do mutual aid with any other community that needs us. So, you know, it keeps us humping anyways.
Yeah, it really does. Well, we hope people will come out and support you. Thanks for keeping us all safe, Ron. And good luck. Here's a good festival this weekend.
All right. Thanks a lot, Joe.
You bet. Ron Bindle joining us from the Loganville Fire Department. Again, the Fire Fest coming up this weekend in Loganville. Welcome back to our morning show studios from WRCO, WRCE. Thanks to our previous guests, Sarah Stibbe and Ron Bindle. We're going to shift gears again here this morning. It's an action-packed morning show. We're going to talk about the A.D. German Warehouse Conservancy. The secretary of the board for A.D. German Warehouse, Ashley Mott, is in the studio with us today. Good morning, Ashley. How are you?
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Good. Doing real well. Good Monday morning to you.
It is, yes, right in the early.
The summer is going by so quickly, and you contacted me and said, we need some volunteers for this haunted warehouse we have coming up. And I'm thinking, it can't be, but...
I know, it's coming up real fast.
So tell me what you're looking for as far as volunteers are concerned.
So we are looking for volunteers this year. We are having the first and second floors of the warehouse for this haunted warehouse that we're doing. So it's bigger and better. We need more volunteers to cover that and scare people. That's the entire point, is a scare people, have fun doing it. Halloween's gonna be coming up here in a couple months. So what we're trying to do is gather the volunteers that we need for the event so we can have a great event and raise money. And that's the whole point. So we're looking for scares for inside the warehouse. We're looking for contacts as far as emergency contacts in the inside the warehouse, safety checks. We're looking for people that will guide people to and from the building. We're looking for announcers, ticket booth staff, so a lot of event staff, but we're also looking for scares. Scares are actually the fun part of the entire volunteer opportunities that we have. We're also planning. We're building props. We're designing right now. So we do have workshops that are going on. We have one on Saturday from 10 to 2 at the 1912, which is at 177 East Hazeltine, which is right next to the warehouse. So we're doing that. Look out for our Facebook, because we're going to be having a lot of notifications as far as when our workshops are, and you can help us build scary props, which is great. Jane Kintz is going to be leading that. You can contact us on Facebook or give us an email. We can get you signed up for our workshops or our event plannings as far as the warehouse itself. But the most important thing is we need people to scare. We need people to scare people, and I think that's fun. I did it last year, and we have two nights. So we're doing October 25th and October 26th. And we are doing the small scare again, and we're doing the no mercy scare. So that's when all the lights are going to come off. So we're doing the small scare at 5:30 to 6:30. So that's for the parents and the kids to come through and see all of our ghouls and scary things with the lights on. So we won't scare the little kids, but it's more fun. And then they'll get candy at the end. So it's a really cool event to take your kids to. So, and we'll have two floors. So it'll be a lot longer and a lot bigger, which is great. And then at 7 o'clock, that's when the lights go out. And that is where the real fun starts. So it'll be 7 o'clock to 9:30. Oh, we made it a little longer because we had a lot more people last year, and we just expect that a lot more. So we need about 39 scares at least. If I could have more, I would have a million. But that's my goal, is to have about 39 scares and about 11 or so event staff, which is great. If you want to learn more, we're going to have an open house tomorrow, Tuesday, I believe it's the 20th.
That'd be right. Yeah.
So it's from 5 to 7 at the 1912, main floor of the 1912, which again is at 177 East Hazeltine. And you can kind of come in and meander, look at what kind of scare rolls that we have. There's some inspiration about what I've been thinking for each scene. And then we also have a slideshow from last year's. We have signups for prop building. We have signups for building the event and helping us create it. And that's going to be in October. And then we also have signups for costumes. So we do have some costumes that people can use. So you can kind of look at those and sign up for those. So that's from 5 to 7 tomorrow night. And if you have any other questions, you can email us at info@80germwarehouse at gmail. So.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
Don't miss the Super Summer pop-up sales happening at the Family Thrift Shop. Stop in often, new items added daily. Shop smart, where your donations are appreciated and your purchases help support your local community. The Family Thrift Shop, 120 South Main Street in downtown Richland Center. Open Wednesday to Friday, 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock, and Saturday, 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock. See you there!
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
News time on this Wednesday morning is sponsored by Bailey Paint and Decorating, your full-line Benjamin Moore dealer with quality paint and expert advice. And by Chet's Feed, Seed and Such, the friendly feed store. Highs in the middle 70s today with sunshine, 49 tonight for an even cooler low, and tomorrow 78. It is 53 degrees.
Ellie here at Chet's Feed, Seed and Such. Keep your house dry from wet paws with our Dirty Dog Chamois and Dirty Dog Doormats. With all this rain to keep things green, now is the perfect time to lay down your grass seeds. We have many seed options to keep your lawn happy, as well as seeding mulch, straw, and fertilizers. Treat your furry friends with our large selection of toys and tasty snacks. Kick pesky mosquitoes to the curb with our Spartan mosquito traps this summer. We appreciate all of our friends down here at Chet's, because without you, there wouldn't be us. Stop by today at 880 North Orange Street or give us a call at 647-8833.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee. Here is what you need to know. Warning a difficult fight ahead, former President Barack Obama and Michelle Obama have called on the nation to embrace Kamala Harris in urgent messages to the Democratic National Convention that were at times both hopeful and ominous. America, hope is making a comeback, the former First Lady declared. She then tore into Republican Donald Trump, a sharp shift from the 2016 convention speech in which she told her party, when they go low, we go high. Barack Obama, the first black president in U.S. history, insisted the nation is ready to elect Harris, who is of Jamaican and Indian heritage and would be the nation's first female president. Republican vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance took questions during a Kenosha press conference on public safety yesterday. The U.S. senator from Ohio called for common sense public safety and said the police of Wisconsin know Donald Trump is the public safety candidate. Vance said there are problems with recruitment in law enforcement. At the same time, Mexican drug cartels are operating as far north as Kenosha, citing that as a failure of the Biden-Harris administration. Just hours prior to a Milwaukee rally with Vice President Kamala Harris and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, Vance said the media needs to start questioning the Democratic candidate. He called on reporters to start asking the Democratic candidate some tough questions or stop giving her this fake, fawning coverage. Harley-Davidson says it is done with DEI. In a Monday statement posted to X, the Milwaukee-based motorcycle manufacturer said it has had no DEI function since April of this year. His no hiring quotas and no longer supplier diversity goals is right now the subject. Harley said it will no longer participate in human rights campaign scoring and will strike socially motivated content from employee training materials. Harley's statement is the result of a campaign by a conservative activist and follows similar moves by Tractor Supply and John Deere. In its own statement, Human Rights Campaign said decisions to cut this send a clear signal to workers that their employees don't care about equality in the workplace. Tuesday marked the six-month anniversary since Elijah Vu disappeared.
Captain Andrew Rates with the Two Rivers Police Department says the investigation looks different now compared to 6 months ago.
There are searches we're performing that were going over some areas we did before, using some other pieces of technology maybe we didn't have access to, or better conditions, that type of thing. Just making sure those areas are thoroughly checked.
He warns about misinformation about the case being posted online.
There's been several reports, you know, the lives have been found in various states and seen different places. Those things aren't helpful because they spread disinformation, because that's not the case.
Captain Rates reiterates that the Two Rivers Police Department is the sole source of factual information on the case. I'm Rachel Charniak, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Richland County Administrator Candace Pash announced last night at the Richland County Board of Supervisors meeting that Venture Architect will present a public informational meeting on its findings for the campus and county buildings. That's coming up on Wednesday, September 4th at 6 o'clock at the White House Ramada in Richland Center. All residents are invited to attend to see what is the best plan moving forward for the county. In other business news, Pash stated that the budget process for 2025 is well underway and that she should have information for next month's meeting. Also, the wage study report shows that the county is not in as bad of shape as originally thought. However, there are 90 county positions still making under $20 an hour. Pesh also reminded the board that the county fair is only a few weeks away. Volunteers are still needed. The Richland County Board of Supervisors approved a resolution supporting a realistic federal definition of rural. The resolution says that increasing access to federal funding in Richland County is essential to the long-term sustainability of county and municipal infrastructure. The Federal Department of Transportation defines rural area as an area that is outside an urbanized area with a population of over 200,000. The Rebuilding Rural Roads Act and Protecting Infrastructure Investments for Rural America Act would reduce the definition of rural under the Rural Surface Transportation Grant Program from 200,000 to 20,000, giving rural communities a greater opportunity to access grant funds and align with definitions used by the Small Business Administration and USDA Office of Rural Development. The Richland County Board of Supervisors approved a motion for the county clerk to send copies of this resolution to Senator Howard Markline, Senator Tammy Baldwin, Senator Ron Johnson, Senator Joan Balweg, Representative Travis Tranel, Representative Tony Kurtz, and Representative Derek Van Orden, and the Wisconsin Counties Association. The Grant County Board of Supervisors approved a contract for the first county administrator. The creation of this position is part of the ongoing efforts to improve the efficiency and effectiveness of the county government. After a selection process, the Board of Supervisors appointed Sheriff Nate Dreckman as their county administrator starting October 1st. Sheriff Dreckman will resign as sheriff effective September 30th and will assume the duties as county administrator on October 1st. Sheriff Dreckman will notify the governor's office, as by Wisconsin statute, when a vacancy occurs in the office of sheriff. The governor makes an appointment until the next election. The process of selecting a new sheriff will be initiated promptly to ensure a smooth transition to leadership in the Grant County Sheriff's Office. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin has announced the Mount Horeb Area School District will receive nearly $120,000 in federal funding to hire a school social worker and support student recovery in response to the tragic shooting in May. The funding is through the U.S. Department of Education School Emergency Response to Violence, or Project SERVE program, which was written and supported by Baldwin in the 2024 government funding bill. Project SERVE funds short-term education-related services for local education agencies and institutions of higher education to help them recover from a violent or traumatic event in which the learning environment has been disrupted. The Mount Horeb Area School District will use the funding for financial assistance to pay for a school social worker at Mount Horeb Middle School, as well as trauma-informed education literature, training, and conferences for all staff to aid in recovery.
Thinking about new window treatments for your home? Or how about a cordless upgrade to your current cellular pleated or wood blinds for a sleeker look? Stop in at Bailey Paint and Decorating today. Talk to Steve, Bailey's Blind Man. Steve will handle all the measuring and installation to take the stress out of fitting new blinds. Give your home a fresh new look with new window treatments and professional installation from Bailey Paint and Decorating on Court Street, downtown Richland Center.
It should be a nice day today, a high of 75, partly sunny this morning and then mostly sunny, mild with southeast winds around 5, mostly clear and cool tonight, a low of 49, and Thursday, sunshine and a bit warmer with a high of 78. Fog has settled back in, very thick fog in some areas this morning, following yesterday's high of 72 and a midnight reading of 57, we're now down to 51 degrees at the studios in Richland. Center.
The Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy has exceptional caring staff and great services. They are a locally owned, independent pharmacy, proudly serving the surrounding area communities. The Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy is committed to helping patients manage their medications. The pharmacists work along with patients and their healthcare providers to find an individualized plan to help each patient maximize the benefits of their medications while minimizing or preventing adverse effects, interactions, costs, and waste.
Farmers and ranchers, mark your calendars for the Decorah Sales Commission Big Dispersal Event on August 21st. Trum's Hilltop Acres is offering 150 head of black cows, all home-raised and bred to black or Hereford bulls, ready to start calving September 1st. Be there at 2 p.m. to secure this top-quality livestock. Come early at 11 a.m. for Holstein steers and beef feeder cattle. For more information, call 563-382-4203 or bid online at cattleusa.com. That's August 21st. Don't miss out.
Sports Time is sponsored by the Richland Hospital, specializing in rural health care since 1924, making a difference by caring, educating, and healing. And by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Coming up, a look back at last night's local and area sports scene. And the Brewers now on a 6-game win after with victory last night in St. Louis. They're on a streak. We'll have details in a moment.
Our team of certified lactation counselors at the Richland Hospital and clinics will tell you breastfeeding is a learned skill. New babies and moms sometimes have trouble finding a position that works for them. With practice and support, most mothers can breastfeed successfully. As part of National Breastfeeding Month, our Birth Center team wants to remind everyone that we're here to support your family's breastfeeding journey by offering coaching and support before birth, during your hospital stay, and after you and your little one are back home.
I'm Phil Nee with sports. The high school football campaign for 11-player football begins on Friday night. The Ithaca Bulldogs scrimmaged last weekend against Lancaster and Schulzberg-Benton, and I asked co-head coach David Klang how it went.
I thought the scrimmage went really well for us. It kind of let us know what we need to work on. We have a lot of returning athletes, which is nice, but most of them are playing in new positions, so kind of gave us a good idea of how well it's going to work and where do we need to improve. But overall, I thought we did our guys did really nice job against both teams and kind of showed what they're capable of.
The Bulldogs travel to Riverdale for the season opener on Friday night. The 2024 Church League softball season came to an end last night at Crosscut Park. The Mission was crowned this year's champion after suffering a loss in the first game last night, their first loss of the tournament, and winning in the second. The Church of the Nazarene won the first game 7-2 before the Mission secured the second contest 9-5, and they capture the 2024 Church League tournament championship. At Quail Run last night, Josh Coy led with a 37, the top score, 39 for Ken Nick Sr., the runner-up in last night's action, week 17 of the 20-week season. It got a little too close for comfort, but Tuesday's 3-2 win at division rival St. Louis gives the Brewers a 6-game winning streak. The biggest divisional lead got a little bigger by reaching 12 games. Milwaukee scored the first 3 runs, then watched pinch hitter Matt Carpenter smash a 2-run shot in the bottom of the 9th. St. Louis loaded the base with one out, but closer Devin Williams was able to slam the door. Starter Frankie Montas won after pitching 7 shutout innings and allowing just one hit. Here's manager Pat Murphy.
We attacked the zone. Strike one was big. I don't know what the percentage was, but I bet it was really good. He's turned it up a notch, you know, and it's kind of cool. He gets it. It's nice having his experience.
For the Brewers, the next game coming up tonight with Tobias Myers on the mound as they try to make it 7 games in a row. They have captured the season series against the Cardinals and now up 12 games in the division. Elsewhere last night, Arizona 3-1 over Miami, Colorado 3, Washington 1, Atlanta 3-1 over Philadelphia. In the American League, Boston 6 and Houston 5, the Angels 9, Kansas City 5, Cleveland 9-5 over the Yankees, Tampa Bay shut out Oakland 1-0. Interleague play, Toronto 10-3 over Cincinnati, Baltimore 9, the Mets 5, Pittsburgh 4-0 over Texas, Cubs 3, Detroit 1, San Francisco 4-1 over the White Sox, San Diego 7, Minnesota 5, and the Dodgers 6-3 over Seattle. The Packers are getting rookie linebacker Edgerrin Cooper back from a hip injury just in time for the start of the season. Cooper was penciled in as a starter, but has missed 3 weeks of training camp. He will be a limited participant to begin. Another rookie, Jordan Morgan, was doing individual work at Tuesday's practice. First-year running back Marshawn Lloyd is still on the sidelines. I'm Phil Nee. That's an update on sports.
A Kubota tractor will help you get all those jobs done.
I know you can't reveal a lot of the plans for this year, but we can do a recap of 2023 and talk about the scary stuff. And what role did you play? You were a scarer last year.
So I coordinated, but I also had to be a scarer at the same time. So I was in the asylum. So the lady that did it before on Friday night lost her voice in the asylum. So I took the lead and I went into the asylum. So that was in the basement of the 1912. So we had a little girl's room where we had dolls set up and they had lights in their eyes. We had a butcher sharpening his tools with some meat. We had a morgue and we had a crazy DJ with clowns. And then we also had like a maze. And so we had a bunch of different things. We had a cornfield, which was great. We actually had real corn socks, which was amazing. Those were donated to us. We had a graveyard. So, and we also had a casket, which was amazing. So Pratt's actually let us borrow one of their caskets. And so that was amazing to see.
So this year you're kind of moving it a little bit more. So it's strictly in the AD German warehouse. And to me, that's kind of fascinating. It might be a little scary, even without the scares with the lights off, right?
It is. Yeah, I've been in that building many times, especially at night. And it is scary without anything in it. But when you add the props and the costumes and people, it's going to be scary. Mm-hmm. So we are doing the first and second floors, like I said. So you will start at the first floor and then you will kind of get mazed around. There'll be some dead ends. The scares will kind of help you through. You won't get stuck, but you might kind of go around a little bit tricky on the first floor. And then you'll kind of weave up to the second floor. And then you'll go through different scenes, which is kind of cool, and be able to use the space because each floor has about 4,000 square feet. So we're able to utilize the building itself within the construction of the warehouse, which is amazing.
How important is this as far as fundraising goes for the warehouse?
So this is our main fundraiser of the year. So we raised $6,000 last year, and we're hoping to raise more than that this year. And all of the profits that go from this event go back straight into the warehouse. So we are a 501c3, we're a nonprofit. We actually, our board, it consists of 6 volunteers. So everything that we do is all volunteers. So all the stuff that we do as far as fundraising goes straight back into the warehouse.
Why are you a volunteer?
I am a volunteer because when I grew up here, I looked at this amazing building and I was never able to look into it. And I knew how important Frank Lloyd Wright was. And I knew how important this building was, especially to this community. And to see it kind of not come into fruition, I want to be part of that. Like, I want to see that building thrive. And that is why I do it.
Okay, yeah. I know there's a lot of people. I'll drive through town and they're stopped, out-of-state license mm-hmm. plates, and they're looking over the building and things like that. There's interest practically every day in that building in the summertime.
Yeah, so it's funny because a lot of, we're there, I think there's someone there every single day, and a lot of the times we'll do private tours because people will just be around the building or looking at the building. I was in there last week, and I ended up giving a private tour for 3 people from Italy. just because I was doing inventory on the haunted warehouse stuff.
Isn't that crazy?
And so it was great for them to see the building because they came all the way over here to look at all the Frank Lloyd Wright buildings, and it was closed because it was a Tuesday, I believe, and they were able to see it because somebody was there.
How's the tour season going this year?
It's going good, good. So we've been open every Sunday, and we've had at least 30 people, 12 every single Sunday at least. So it's been going really good, a lot better than last year. And so we've been kind of doing a lot of progress with that and a lot more advertising. The Frank Lloyd Wright Trail has been helping us as well with advertising and things like that. So we've been open a lot more, which is great.
Yeah, a lot of people go to Taliesin and do that tour and then come right up here as well, don't they?
Yep. So we've been collaborating with different sites to be able to increase the revenue that we have here.
Yeah, any other events coming up? Because I know you have some fun events during the year from time to time.
Yeah, those are kind of still in production right now. So we might have a market coming up in the, like around December, right around Christmas. So that might be in the works. And then I can't really talk about it, but we do have a special thing coming up with a lot of the work that we've been doing on the first floor. So that's still a mystery. So if you are intrigued about that, follow us on Facebook and hear more.
Ah, yes, indeed. A breaking story.
Yeah.
If you could snap your fingers and just make it like you wanted to, what would you see for the 80 German warehouse? Like, what would be on the wish list there, Ashley?
My wish list would be to have a rooftop event center, maybe like a bar where you can sit down, have great views of the hills, the city, feel the breeze, and just enjoy yourself with people that you love. And every single floor have just a lively vibe, having people talk, having people come in and out, having it be busy, having it be more of like a beehive where it's buzzing. And that's what I want to see. So, yeah, I want there to be like museums so people can learn about Richland Center, learn about the warehouse, learn about Frank Lloyd Wright's birthplace, because that's special to us. So,
how cool is the view on the roof of that building? I've never been up there before, but I presume it must be nice.
It's pretty amazing, yeah. So
you'd like to utilize that?
I would love to utilize that if we could, yeah. So that would be our ideal goal, is to have something on that rooftop so people can enjoy it. Because there's nothing really like that in the Driftless area where you can actually see the Driftless hills and scenery that we have, and it's beautiful, and I would love to share that with people.
Growing up here, you probably didn't know a lot about Frank Lloyd Wright initially, but I'm guessing you have learned over the years.
Yep, I've learned over the years. I moved out for college and kind of learned more about that. I went to school in Duluth, and he has a gas station up there. So
I did not know that.
We went up there, and I've been to Taliesin West, which is amazing. So it's kind of interesting when you go to different places and people ask, well, where is Frank Lloyd Wright born? I know, because I grew up there.
Yeah. Oftentimes, I've seen that listed as he was born in Chicago. You know, I mean, yeah. That's a big error out there, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I've seen, I don't know if it's on the internet, but I used to see that once in a while in books, and I would always be surprised by like that. And like, oh, that's not the case.
Sometimes, but yeah.
We got to take advantage
of it. That's
right. Yeah.
That's right.
Absolutely. So so key deadlines then coming up tomorrow night. You have the volunteer meeting then, right?
Yep. So tomorrow night we have the volunteer open house, which is from 5 to 7. We also have a prep workshop this Saturday from 10 to 2. And then I'm going to have another volunteer open house, if people can't make it to this one, September 3rd from 5 to 7 again. And then of course, the main events are going to be in October, the 25th and 26th. So we're going to have more prop workshops, more event building workshops. And so those are going to be announced on our Facebook. If you want to be signed up for emails, you can email us and we will get you on our list for that.
Probably takes a little more coordination now because you don't want to disturb the things that are in it as a museum. You want to kind of work around those, don't you?
Yes. So I've tried to incorporate, we have murals on the second floor, so I've been trying to incorporate those in the building of it so we are able to utilize those as walls and the pillars, be able to use those as to, things to hang up on. And the way it's kind of laid out, I'm able to use what's already in there and not disturb it too much, which is kind of which is great.
Your volunteers that are scarers, can they take on any role they choose, or are they going to be assigned different roles?
So they can sign up for specific roles, but as far as acting goes, I let the actors do what the actors do best is act, and they can morph into whatever role that they want. It's just more or less we have a kind of like inspirations and the scenes that they'll be put in, but as far as like how they what they dress up or how they act and things like that, it is completely up to them. They can use their creativity, which is great. The ones last year did an absolute amazing job, more than I expected, and I just know that this year is going to be great as well.
So you have the scare for the younger crowd, or some of those of us a certain age that might not like the really, really scary scare.
Yep.
And I'm amazed how many people crave that that really scary scare. That's pretty popular, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So I actually volunteered at the Soap Factory in Minneapolis, which is kind of how I wanted to incorporate this and where I kind of take my brainstorming into this. I wouldn't go through that, and I don't want to go through this, but I will gladly plan it, and I love it. And this is one of my favorite events throughout the entire year. But it was funny because my aunt and uncle went to the small scare because they didn't want to get scared, which is completely fine. So if you want to visit it, you don't want to be scared, but you want to kind of see what we're doing and you want to help us fundraise, you can come to the small scare and experience it, because it's just as fun to see everything in place with all the lights on. But if you're a daredevil and you want to be scared, and that's the whole point, come to the No Mercy, because that's what we're going to do. We're going to scare you.
You get to see behind the curtains, then, in other words, don't you, before
exactly.
it starts.
Exactly, yep.
Mm-hmm. So why didn't you go to the Scary Scare in Minneapolis, then? Was it pretty intense?
It was very intense. You had to sign a lien waiver, and you went up and down with the elevators, and I volunteered for it, but it was a little bit too intense for me. They get paid for it. That's what they do for a whole month. I don't think they do it anymore, but it was amazing what these people do. It was definitely a production, theater production. It was amazing. So I want to be able to kind of replicate that on a smaller scale here and show the community that we can be fun, we can be scary, and it's definitely worth it.
Indeed. I know that you mentioned you have the board, and
yes.
They're all volunteers. Right. How often do you meet?
Our board meetings are once a month, but we have a lot of projects going on, so we tend to meet a little bit more than that. So, but our board meetings are once a month, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so plans are being laid out for that and
yes.
other events coming in the fall. So
yes. We have a lot of moving parts, which is great. We're a great board. We've worked really, really well together. And it's kind of like a little family, which is great.
That's great. Awesome. Yeah. And then the tour season continues through how long?
So the tour season is every Sunday from 11 to 2. And yeah, 11, 12, 1 and 2. And it goes until October 6th.
And if somebody's listening and they'd be interested in a private tour, they can do that. They schedule that as well?
Yes. So they can email us or call us. All the information is on our website. We do like to get those set up 2 weeks in advance, mainly because we are volunteers. So we have a list of tour guides that are volunteers. So it's kind of, we work with the person's schedule and the tour guide's schedule as well. And we kind of pair them together.
Do you do a lot of school tours as well?
We've done a couple, yeah. We usually do a couple tours with, I think, St. Mary's we've done before. And they come out and we do a school tour for them, which is great.
Right.
Yeah.
That's got to be rewarding to realize that, you know, they're learning about it for the first time.
It is. It's fun to see them.
And maybe there's a future Ashley Mott in the group of the kids,
maybe,
too.
Yes.
Maybe, Well, thanks so much for joining us. Keep us posted if we can publicize anything else that you have going on at the
Perfect.
Warehouse.
Thank you so very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Ashley Mott joining us here, Secretary of the Board of the A.D. German Conservancy here on this portion of the morning show today.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
The Richland Family Prescription Center's primary function is to fill your prescription accurately and to provide added value services to enhance your health. Filling your prescription is only the first step. Understanding your medication and the importance of compliance will greatly benefit your medication outcome. Whether it's a first-time visit or they've seen you before, the Prescription Center's friendly and knowledgeable staff is dedicated to providing you with a quality pharmacy experience, and they have built their reputation by going the extra mile to ensure your satisfaction. The Richland Family Prescription Center, your one-stop source for all of your prescription and healthcare needs. Your complete customer satisfaction is their top priority.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Getting ready for back to school at Macy's is all about fresh starts and new looks, making it one of summer's greatest hits. Save on must-haves like cargos, mini dresses, jeans, and more that'll hold up from the first day of school to the last. Plus, you'll find all the top quality brands you love, like Nike, Jordan, Levi's, and the all-new Epic Threads. Shop Macy's and make the first day back the best one yet. Check out Macy's.com/back to school today.
New windows add value and comfort to your home. PMI Windows of Lone Rock knows windows. Windows is all they do. PMI will help you custom tailor premium vinyl windows for your home to maximize your heating and cooling savings while giving you the look, feel, and the function you desire. All with the industry's best lifetime, no-nonsense, transferable warranty. Call 583-7200 to schedule your free estimate from PMI Windows of Lone Rock.
WRCO FM Richland Center, where the update at 7 is sponsored by Jones.